so glad that's not where the story ends. The man that was slain that day rose in victory. Since that day, sin has lost its grip on me. Hallelujah, he's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive.
He's alive. proclaim that. Hallelujah. He is alive. He is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. He is alive. Because he lives.
Out to the Lord. I feel him in this place. Having watched online myself, I know you're feeling him at home, in your car, at work, wherever you are this morning. So thankful for his love. So thankful for his goodness. So thankful for his sacrifice, God. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I think about, we're going to pray for him. And I know he's watching right now, our dear brother John Brunker in the hospital, facing some situations medically, and admitted him yesterday. We want to pray for him. But he videoed a few of us, and he was just smiles, all smiles. What a testimony and encouragement that, you know what, I know that's his song this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, I don't have to worry. He was, you know, instead of being like, pray for this and pray for that, and man, I'm struggling. No, he's like, man, look at this room. Look how great it is. There's no one on this floor. I'm getting salmon. And he's just excited about what God is doing in his life, despite where he's at. And it is that true anchor that we have in him. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can celebrate today. Amen. Let's just celebrate all over where we're at right now. We thank you, Jesus, God. We worship your name, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you, God. Lord, I pray right now that you would touch our dear brother Brunker, Lord Jesus, God. Heal him, Lord Jesus, God. dissipate these, Lord, blood clots that he has right now in Jesus' name, God. Lord God, I pray, Lord Jesus, every, Lord Jesus, ear under the sound of my voice, every individual, God, Lord Jesus, that they, Lord God, would feel your hope this morning. God, this is not, Lord Jesus, God, crucifixion day. No, this is resurrection day. The promise, God, Lord God, that we will rise with you one day, Lord Jesus. And here on earth, we can live in new life. We can rise in you, Lord Jesus, God, that you'd fill us with your spirit, God, and we can have hope. We can't have an anchor, God, Lord Jesus. We can't have a rock that we stand on, Lord Jesus, God. And because of you, because of your sacrifice, God, Lord God, we can face tomorrow. We can face tomorrow because we know, Lord, you hold our future. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you, Lord. I praise your name, Jesus. I show you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us this Easter Sunday. Amen. Never thought I would not see some Easter hats, and because of my eyes, not be able to see who actually is underneath the hat, and then find myself looking awkwardly under the hat at the person before I can greet them. But man, it is good to be here at Easter Sunday online. Amen. We're so glad you joined us. We pray God's blessing you this morning. I heard some folks are dressing up to the nines at home. That's awesome. Amen. He is risen. He is risen. Just want to go into a few announcements. I want to continue to remind you of our online service schedule Tuesday. VOSIS has service at 7 p.m. and Wednesday CGC at 7 p.m. And then again, next Sunday, 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 5 p.m., that's CGC, VOSIS, and AIM. You can catch VOSIS Unidas, our Spanish-English bilingual service today as well at 1 and AIM at 5. We want to encourage you to continue worshiping the Lord in your giving. You can see the options on the screen. You can mail it in to 5301 Commercial Avenue right here in Madison. Go to our website, cgcmadison.org, click the Give link and follow the instructions there. Or you can text to give, 608-719-3883. And you can text keywords such as tithes or offering, and then it will walk you through the instructions on how to give. Amen. We're excited. We had a great idea that Pastor Peter as Family Ministries put together this past week, and that was to just really encourage social interaction without socially interacting. And so we encouraged a Chalk the Lot campaign. And so many of you chalked your own driveways. If you felt more comfortable just staying home, sending in pictures. Others came to the church and chalked a parking lot stall, and there was plenty of distance. This parking lot's huge. If you've never been here, come on by. Stop by the church. And then once we're open, visit us if you're a guest out there this morning. Amen. We're so excited you joined us. But we want to see a video. We put a compilation together. And so check this video out of our Chalk the Lot efforts.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. That's freedom, though it captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead.
Got true love
instead of pain.
That's freedom. Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here on this Easter Sunday morning. I trust that you're all having a very great Easter morning in your homes. And I just want to encourage you today to just keep a spirit of thanksgiving. Keep a spirit of laughter, happiness in your homes. I think that so many times we can get caught up in all of the other junk that's going on around us. Yesterday it was so exciting. We came over here yesterday morning and did our little portion of chalking the lot. And I want to thank Brother Peter and Sister Brittany for organizing that. But so we went home and I was kind of tired, so I thought I'm going to take a little bit of a nap. And I no more laid down and the doorbell rings, and we don't get very many doorbell rings out at our place. And so looked outside, and Chris and Alma Banning and their family was on their way, just making some deliveries, some desserts that they had made. And so we had some great time of just in fellowship talking with them. It was so enjoyable and relaxing, such a beautiful day. And I went to lay back down again, Pastor Seidel, and I no more the doorbell, a little while later, the doorbell rings again, and I'm like, okay, they must have forgot something, and I go and I look at the door, and there's an Easter bunny standing out on our front sidewalk, and it took me a few moments to focus in on who this Easter bunny was, but it had a strong likings to Luther George, and it's true to an Easter bunny and how Easter bunnies like to hop. He was dressed up in a full Easter bunny costume, and he had his basket. The only thing is he never left anything. I thought maybe it was like Santa Claus. If I've been bad, I don't get anything. But I thought maybe I'd get a Cadbury egg or something, at least there, hint, hint. But we didn't get an egg. But he did hop all the way back down to the end of the driveway. So kudos to that. But so glad to have you all here joining us this morning for our Easter service. All across the nation today, people, families, pastors, ministers, priests, rabbis, preachers, and teachers are all trying their best to take and in some manner of way introduce you to Jesus Christ. They will cover his life from his crucifixion, perhaps, to his resurrection, and all of this, most will miss out on just exactly who this Jesus was. When I listen to the news, it becomes more depressing by the day, and society, our world is in such a mess. There's so much hatred and there's so much bitterness. And among all of the hatred and bitterness, there's loneliness and confusion. People are beginning to become frustrated and more fearful. And listen, church, listen, families, we need Jesus Christ more now than we have ever needed him before. Oh, how we need him. If people could just understand just exactly who Jesus Christ really is, but how will they know him unless someone tells them about him? If I were today to introduce him to those that have never met him, how would I introduce my Jesus Christ to my world? We introduce people all the time. We have settings in which we're here at church and perhaps we bring a guest along and we want to introduce that guest to each other. So we simply walk up to another individual and say, Pastor, I would like for you to meet Brother Phil Demas. He's a friend of mine and he comes from Greek. He was a missionary and comes from the country of Greece, and it's such an honor to have him today. Perhaps you have someone in your living room that is a guest, or you have invited someone to watch this service online and you introduce yourself. I've seen people on the news, famous people. How do famous people introduce each other? We see the President of the United States has press conferences almost every day now, and you hear the band as the band in the background begins to play Hail to the Chief, and someone walks out onto the stage in the podium that has the presidential seal on it, and it's very, very simple. They don't even mention his name most of the time. They just say, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. And then the president walks out and he begins to give his speech. As I begin to ponder about this Easter service today, I don't wish to just tell some Easter story. I don't wish to stand here before you and talk about his death, his burial, or his resurrection, because I want to introduce to you who Jesus Christ really was. You see, if I had an opportunity, I would take that opportunity, and this morning I have that opportunity. So if you think about this, folks, we can get all creative in our minds and how we think about things and introducing Jesus Christ. How would you do it? How would you introduce Jesus Christ, if you were to introduce him this morning here at an Easter service, and there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of people standing, waiting as you introduced. You see, when I look into the scripture, I can look and I can see how other people in the Word of God introduced Jesus. I can look in Matthew and I can open up the pages of Matthew and I can read how Matthew introduced Jesus to the Jews, and he started his introduction all the way back with Abraham. He talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and went through the whole lineage of Jesus before he got to Jesus. Abraham, or Matthew, introduced Jesus primarily to the Jewish nation. Mark introduced Jesus. He doesn't start with Abraham as Matthew did. He starts with John the Baptist. Because you see, Mark had a different audience. He was predominantly talking to the Romans, and he was introducing Jesus through John the Baptist. We get into Luke, and we look at Luke, and Luke, he was very well educated. As history tells us, he was a physician, and he began to introduce Jesus primarily to the Greeks as he began to tell his story of Jesus. But when I look at John, he had a totally different take on his introduction to Jesus. So if I could take the passion of John this morning and take the knowledge of John as he began to introduce the world to Jesus, he didn't start in the manger. He didn't start with John the Baptist, or he didn't start the way that the rest of them started. He started in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word, oh my friend, this morning, that Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And that Word had a name, and that name was Jesus. So on this Easter morning, ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce to you a man that really needs no introduction. His credits are far too long to mention, because he has done the impossible time after time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem of Judea by way of an open grave here this morning. The grave is empty. He is the author of the most popular book that has ever been written. He holds the record for the world's largest fish fry, and he can walk on water, and he can turn water into wine. He is the creator of the universe, and the universe that he created, he is the ruler over. There is none like him. There is none above him. There is none beside him. I wish to tell you this morning that we do not serve a puny God. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. And it is all right to stand up in your living room and lift your hands to the heavens and begin to praise him. He is the bright and morning star, and he is the Rose of Sharon. In a world that desperately needs peace, he is the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is the Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world, and he is the head of this church in Ephesians 1:22. He is the original father of the bride. He is my master. He is my savior. He is my Lord. He is my king. He is my living water, and he is my bread of life. In a dark world, he is the light into the world. He is the image of an invisible
invisible God. He is the author of my salvation. He is the chief cornerstone in which all other stones relate to. He is the creator. He is eternal life. And we live in a time where truth is very hard to find. And he is faithful and he is true and he will never lie to you. This Jesus Christ that I introduced to you this morning is the great I am. When Moses stood there and he asked that day, whom shall I say that sent me? He said, tell Pharaoh that the great I am that I am. It means there is none other but me. There is none beside me. There is none above me. I am the great I am. He is a king that's eternal. He is the king of kings and he is Lord of lords. And in him is the light of the world. He is the Lord of all glory. He is the Lord of all lords. He is Lord over all of my life. He's Lord over my finances. He's Lord over my marriage. He's Lord over my family. He's Lord over my salvation. He is the mighty God. And in what a mighty God that I serve. He is my holiness. He is our husband. He is our protection. We live in a day where we need protection. He is our protection. He is our redemption. And he is our righteousness. This God that we serve, Jesus Christ is his name. He is my bread when I'm hungry. And when he's water when I'm thirsty. And he is the shelter in the time of storm. He is the resurrection of life. And as he came out of that grave and he wagged his finger and taunted, he said, oh death, where is thy sting? And oh grave, where is your victory? Understand something, my God is not dead in a tomb somewhere, but he rose again on the third day because he is righteous. He is holy. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our savior and he is my friend. Above all and most important of all, Jesus Christ today is my salvation. When I read through the pages of his book that he wrote and he gave to humanity, he wrote and spoke through holy men of old. As I go through the pages of Genesis, I can see him in every book that he wrote. In Genesis, he is my creation. He is my creator God. In Exodus, he is my redeemer. In Leviticus, he is my sanctification. In Numbers, he is my guide. In Deuteronomy, he is my teacher. In Joshua, he is the mighty conqueror who takes away all fear and doubt. In Judges, he gives victory to me over my enemies. In Ruth, he is my kinsman. He is my lover. He is my redeemer. In 1 Samuel, he's the root of Jesse. In 2 Samuel, he is the king or son of David. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's my king of kings and my lord of lords. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he is my intercessor and my high priest. In Ezra, he is my temple, my house of worship. In Nehemiah, he is my mighty wall protecting me from the enemy. In Esther, he stands in the gap and delivers me from my adversaries. In Job, he's my arbitrator who not only understands my struggles, and he has the power to do something about them. We can go on in Psalms. He is my song. He is my reason to sing. In Proverbs, I've asked all of you to read in Proverbs every day. He is my wisdom, helping me to make sense in all of this craziness that we live in. And not only making sense of it, but giving us the wisdom to live through it and live through it successfully. In Ecclesiastes, he is my purpose, delivering delivering me from vanity. And in Song of Solomon, he is my lover, my rose of Sharon. In Isaiah, he is the mighty counselor. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the everlasting Father. And more, in short, he is everything that you and I will ever need. All this Jesus that I introduced to you today, he is ever faithful upon that whom I can depend on. In Ezekiel, he gives life to these dry and dead bones. In Daniel, he is the Ancient of Days, the everlasting God who never runs out of time, because he is time. In Hosea, he is my faithful lover, always beckoning me to come back even when I have walked away from him. And in Joel, he is my refuge, keeping me safe in times of trouble. In Amos, he's my husbandman, the one who I can depend on to stay by my side. And in Obadiah, he is Lord of the kingdom. In Jonah, even when I stray from his will, he is my salvation, bringing me back when I stray. In Micah, he is a judge that will judge the nations. In Nahum, he is a jealous God. Habakkuk, he is the Holy One. In Zephaniah, he is the witness. In Haggai, he overthrows my enemies. In Zechariah, he is a Lord of hosts. And in Malachi, he is a messenger of God. Oh, my Jesus that I am trying to introduce to you today. In Matthew, he's King of the Jews. In Mark, he is an example of a chief servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man, something feeling what I feel, feeling what you feel. In John, he is the Word, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Acts, he is power. He is Holy Ghost power that no longer dwells among us, but now can dwell. He can dwell within us. In Romans, he is righteousness. In 1 Corinthians, he is the rock that followed Israel. And in 2 Corinthians, he's a triumph one, giving me the victory. In Galatians, he is my liberty. He who is free, he who he sets free is free indeed. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is my joy. In Colossians, he is my completeness. And in 1 Thessalonians, he is my hope in a hopeless world. In 2 Thessalonians, he is my patience and my discipline. In 1 Timothy, he is my faith. 2 Timothy, he's my stability. In Titus, he is truth. Philemon, he's my benefactor. Hebrews, he's my perfection. In James, he is the power behind my faith. In 1 Peter, he's my example. 2 Peter, he's my purity. And 1 John, he's my life. 2 John, he's my pattern. 3 John, he is my reason for motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of my faith. And in Revelation, he is my soon and very soon coming King. You see, from the beginning of the world to its very end, there is no place that you can look and not see my God. He is everywhere. He is everything. When I look into his word, when I read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, he is before all things. He is before all things. And by him, all things hold together. He, his presence, his spirit, Pastor Phil, is the spirit and the presence that holds this universe together. Oh, how I wish I could do a better job at describing him to you today,
because he is so indescribable. He is so uncomprehensible. He is an invincible God. He is an irresistible God. You can't get him off and out of your mind, and you can't get him off of your hands. Church, we cannot live without him, and we cannot outlive him. Understand something, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, yet they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him, and Herod could not kill him, and death could not handle him, and the grave could not hold him. That is my Jesus. When Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, he was faced with the same introduction. Now, he knew Jesus. He knew Jesus much different from those that stood out there in the crowd. He was one that betrayed him. He was one that at times was embittered and cursed him. He was upset at times, yet he had a desiring love for Jesus Christ. And how was he going to take and how was he going to introduce this Jesus to the crowd that day? Just who was this man that they had crucified and then rose again from the grave? We can read in the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 36 as Peter begins to take and do his best to describe exactly who he was trying to introduce that day. He says, therefore let all the house of Israel, I want you all to know one thing this morning, and I want you to know it assuredly, that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified. This God, this Jesus whom you crucified, he is both Lord and he is Christ. The same Jesus who John explained that the Word became flesh. God, who was a spirit, made himself seen. He was born in a manger and gave himself a personal body. So when you meet Jesus, things begin to change in your life. So as Peter began to preach that day, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? I challenge you this morning as you sit and listen to probably an unusual Easter message. Yes, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but you see, he came, he was here, he lived, he died, he became the perfect sacrifice, but it didn't end there. Yes, he ascended back into the heavens. Yes, he sat on the throne, the right hand of God, as the scripture tells us, but it doesn't end there. How do we go about today introducing this Jesus to the world? You see, I can't introduce him as the disciples introduce him. They could give a personal introduction, but I can introduce you in a much different way. You see, they had him. He lived with them, but his desire was to come so that he not only could live with us, but he could sacrifice himself so he could live in us. And I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ in a very different way. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You see, we repent of our sins. See, we serve a holy God. We serve a sinless God. When we go to heaven someday, if we make it to heaven, it's going to be a holy city. It's going to be a sin-free city. Sin is not allowed within the confinements of heaven. So in order to go to heaven, we must repent of our sins. We must take on his name in baptism. That's why we're baptized, buried as he was buried in a tomb. We are buried in Christ. We take on his name. His
blood flows through our veins. Just as he was introduced as Abraham, a child of Abraham, we become through a lineage of blood, we become a child of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. But he doesn't leave us empty. He doesn't leave us without the ability to fight. He gives us, just as he conquered death, hell, and the grave, the same spirit that was rose him, brought him back from the dead. It's the same spirit he desires to give to us so we can overcome the dead of sin in our lives. But you see, it's been told, and I've heard it told, that, well, this was just for the disciples. This was just for the day in which the disciples, this was just for the day of Peter, and it was for them. But this doesn't apply to us today. Peter goes right in and he preaches the very next verse. For this promise is unto you and it's unto your children. That doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say it's for you here today as he addressed the crowd. He wasn't just saying it's for you and it's for your children, but it's to all that are afar off. It's for the next generation, and it's for the generation after that. It's for the centuries. It's for the millennia. It's all the way down. It is even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You see, but this introduction here this morning comes with a promise. And that this promise, it's for you. It's for your children. It's for you. It's for your family. This is why Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to earth so that we can experience in us his power and his authority. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that I know Jesus Christ for who he really is. He is the God of creation that came to earth and now lives inside of my life. We have communion this morning. And as you and your families, as you get ready for communion in your homes, I'm going to ask Pastor Seidel if he would come. He's going to take care of this portion of our service. So I will be back. God bless you as we take communion.
Amen. I want to just lift my hands and express my gratitude for a living God who cared enough about me to die on a cross, to wrap himself in human flesh, to pay the price for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Price I could not pay for a debt that I owed, he paid by his death on the cross. Made his spirit available to me by rising on the third day and pouring it out. Certainly this is a strange Easter Sunday for all of us. I want to give a shout out for my Easter Bunny visitation yesterday. I was in my front room and I heard the chirp of a public address speaker. And I looked out the window and there was a police car moving slowly up the street with his lights flashing. Behind him was another emergency services vehicle, then a fire truck, then another truck with a trailer. And on the trailer, I don't think it was Luther, George, but on the trailer was an Easter bunny. And he was waving at people. My neighbors across the street happened to be sitting in the yard. They all had their phones out. Catching it on video. Following it were several other emergency services vehicles. And I know that the Easter Bunny isn't a religious symbol, but nonetheless, it it certainly lifted me up. It was, and I want to just express my appreciation to the village of McFarland for going out of the way to do that. That I think it, they went past my son's house with my grandson. They got to see it, and they were excited about it, especially my grandson. So as strange as this Easter Sunday is, there are a lot of things that we want to do that are important enough to maintain. One of them is communion, especially for an apostolic church. We give a certain gravity to our communion services. The word, by the way, communion means fellowship. And we often think of that special moment when we're all together in the same space and we're sensing one another's solemnity and our reverence for God and our gratitude for this living thing we call the church. Thankfully, we can still share that moment of fellowship, but unfortunately, not in the same physical space. I want to read something from 1 Corinthians 11. This is what Paul said about, part of what Paul said about communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Now, it may be a strange reference on Easter, but on this Easter Sunday, I'm reminded of a traditional Christmas song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." It was made famous in the 1940s by Bing Crosby, and it's probably been sung every Christmas season since then. And no, I wasn't around when it first came out. This song, which represents a soldier's sense of separation during wartime, begins by saying that he will be home for Christmas. He says, "I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents by the tree." But the next stanza changes things. He repeats that he'll be home for Christmas. "Christmas Eve will find me, will find you, where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas." But in the last line of the stanza, he qualifies it. He says, "If only in my dreams." This last line tinges the rest of the song with a bittersweet tone. Here's the difference between the church and any other group on earth. We don't have to rely on a bittersweet dream of being together. We don't have to pretend. I know we're physically separated by the stay-at-home order and our efforts at safe practices. But according to God's word, we're not really separated. Not from the body of Christ. I'm not talking about parking lot activities or gatherings in vehicles or drive-by greetings, which we all have enjoyed, or even online interactions. Though all of these things have been a great blessing and an encouragement, I'm talking about what 1 Corinthians 12 says. Paul said in verses 12 through 14, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now listen to this, because this relates to what Pastor Roy was talking about. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We've been born of the water by baptism in Jesus' name. and filled with His Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, we are a part of something that is not bound by space or time. We're part of a living, worldwide, trans-dimensional, eternal body. The body of Christ, the church. This was purchased and prepared by the blood of Jesus Christ and has made us one by His living Spirit in us. Ephesians 2:6 says that He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice, that's in present tense. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are currently sitting together with Him in heavenly places. We can do more than plan on this, as Bing said. We can plan because of this. This is an accomplished fact. It's already done. It's forever settled in heaven and earth. Now, I believe in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul was talking about a physical gathering when he was speaking about communion, but that doesn't take away from what I'm saying. What matters is when we take the bread today in whatever form we've chosen, we do it in remembrance of Him who paid the price for us to be one body. What matters is when we drink the fruit of the vine that we remember that Jesus paid the price for my sin, for our sin, by allowing His blood to be shed on that awful cross. We do these things in remembrance of Him and with the assurance that His sacrifice has empowered us to be joined together no matter where we are. I feel the presence of the Lord. I hope that you're feeling His Holy Spirit where you are this morning. We used to sing a song. Reminds me of Brother Felix Crowder. I've got something the world didn't give, and the world can't take it away. Bad grammar, but good Bible. The church has something wonderful that the rest of the world doesn't have in this hour. We are never alone. We are always in His presence. We are always with the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is always with each of us. That's why we can still call it communion, fellowship, even though we're separated physically. This communion we're going to share this morning, this fellowship, it's spiritual, it's supernatural, and it's eternal. As we partake of the communion elements, I want to encourage us to serve one another, assuming whatever safe practices work for your situation. Choose one member, father or mother, or someone who volunteers to serve the others. That's what Jesus did. He served others. Or you may take turns serving one another. That's what He told the disciples to do, to serve each other. As we do this, let's surrender our hearts to God, surrendering all of our fears and all of our doubts. Let's allow Him to draw us more and more into His presence and into fellowship with one another. Let's forgive one another. Even where you're at, if there's something in your heart, by His grace, forgive anyone who has hurt you or for any bitterness you may carry that we may have in our hearts. This is the essence of communion, of fellowship. As a pure and holy God has forgiven us, how much more should we forgive one another? This is fellowship in His Spirit. And in His body. This is forgiveness through His blood. This time I'm going to ask for the handful of people that are here to come down and receive the elements. You can prepare them in your home Begin to serve one another, however you choose to do it. After a moment, Pastor Phil Demas is going to come and pray for the bread and the juice. And when we've all received the elements, and after we've prayed, then let's all take communion together. Won't you come and take the elements now?
Lord, we are so grateful for you, God. We're grateful, Lord God, and in this symbolic act, Lord Jesus, we do stand or sit in remembrance of you. We remember the body, Lord, with the bread. We remember, Lord Jesus, as your word says that, Lord Jesus, you were bruised for our iniquities. Lord Jesus, God, you were wounded for our transgressions. You, Lord, took stripes on your back, Lord God, that we are healed. And God, Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing upon this bread today, God. That here, Lord Jesus, in this day, 2,000 years later, Lord God, that we would be healed. We would see that impact of the sacrifice you made with your body in our lives. God, and we pray, Lord Jesus, for the cup, Lord Jesus, as we take that. God, we pray, Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the blood. We pray your blessings on this cup as we remember, God, that the shedding of your blood, Lord, cleanses us, washes away, Lord God, the sin that so easily is involved in our lives, God. We're born, Lord, with a propensity to sin, but God, it's your blood as we submit to you, God, that is washes that away, God, and we are baptized in your name, Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray, God, your blessing, God, upon every home, every individual, God, as we take these elements this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Make me whole again. nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Test. This concludes our Easter service this morning. We want to thank you for joining us with your families online. And we want to thank all of the folks that came in this morning to help us with the service. And God bless you. And you know what's coming next. Oh, let's be smart. Let's be safe. Let's stay saved and sanctified and sanitized. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you on this awesome, awesome Easter morning. Till next time, God bless.